Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
People say there's so much bad news around and we try to avoid it, but I don't think there are too many of us that we're not seriously touched by watching the Redress documentary over the last couple of nights. If you did sit down to watch it, unbelievable piece of public service broadcasting there, and as horrid and distressing as it actually was, it's still part of our history whether we like it or not. It's real. And the survivors, in their own words, are still alive, most of them anyway, or many of them, to be able to tell us that and let us not forget about that very, very dark history facilitated by the state. This is not a church bashing thing necessarily either, by the state, and facilitated then by the church with the cover-ups afterwards as well. Now, Ray Nochter is on the line. Ray, good afternoon to you. Some people will know of you because you were very much in the news about 10 or 15 years ago in relation to this, and I just want to warn listeners, particularly those maybe travelling home from school with younger ears, that this is not for their ears, certainly what you're going to tell us, having read through again your evidence that you gave to the High Court. You watched the Redress programme, Ray, and you say you're glad you did not go in front of the Redress Board. You instead went straight to the High Court.
Good afternoon, Damien. Thank you for having me on and the opportunity to share my experience with you. Through the advice of my legal team, a year and a half before my case was due, he presented me with the opportunity of a redress board or the High Court. And he outlined what the redress board would entail. And it was a measure abuse.
So you were basically given the option, sorry for cutting across you, but just to put it in perspective, at that stage, the purpose of the Redress Board was to be a non-adversarial court. In other words, that would listen to what happened, and that the panel there would then make an assessment as to your what you should get in terms of financial reward, as it were. And that's what people thought it would be. It turned out to be something completely different. And we know with the non-disclosure agreements and all of that, that gave rise to this redress programme and how it actually set people backwards, actually going in front of it. But you went, as I said, you sidestepped that and went straight for the High Court, and you received damages. But in the High Court, you were allowed, albeit through cross-examination, you were allowed to speak.
I was, Damien. The difference was the man who abused me was a childcare worker, David Murray. Mm-hmm.
David Murray.
And we got, in the first instance, he was he got 10 years. Mm-hmm. For he admitted, he owned up to it, to the level of abuse that he
inflicted on you.
Inflicted on me and others, Damien.
In where, just to
In Joseph Kilkenny.
In what years?
In the 70s.
Right. Back in the 70s.
Through that, he received 10 years. And then it took another almost 10 years for me to go to the High Court. And I get my statement to the Gardaí at first. And at first, I had no legal team. I had no counsel. And after, the Gardaí picked me up off the street and said I must give a statement. And if I failed to give a statement, I would be arrested and put in jail. That's exactly what was said to me.
Why would you give a statement about what?
Give a statement of what happened to me.
And if you didn't, you'd be thrown in jail. Why?
Because contempt of court.
Okay.
There was allegations made now at this stage. And I was approximately 6 hours given a statement. I wasn't given any rights to a solicitor, to a counsel, only after the statement. And after I gave my statement, Damien, this is hard. I walked out in front of a lorry and hoping that the lorry would knock me down. But good lorry driver, he stopped. You know, I tried several suicide attempts, Damien. The abuse that was laid on me personally was horrific. And I'll give you an example if you wish. At one stage, I was brought out in the middle of the night. I couldn't tell the time at that time. It was 2 or 3 in the morning, lashing rain in my pyjamas, in my bare feet. I was brought out to a cabbage plant at the back of the school. I was made dig it up with a spade that I could barely hold. You know, I was only a small chap, you know, very small, very thin, very placid. And I was made dig the hole. It looked like I was digging the hole for hours and hours. And I got as far as my waist, and Murray leaned over and said, if I ever tell anyone what's going on, that's where I'm going. And he laid me there for most of the night and then brought me in and threw me in a bath of cold water. And then he got his dog, his Alsatian, and his Alsatian buggered me, and then I got sick on his floor. He stood on my head and made me lick up my vomit. And he locked me into a locker, steel locker. The following morning, he gave me a glass of wine and a cigar, and off to school I went, half drunk. And then I came home back that evening with no homework, kind of a hangover. And I got another beating with a hurl. He broke my jaw and broke my nose. And I ended up in hospital.
What age were you then?
There. I was 9, 10, around that. And he stood over the doctor saying I was in a fight with one of the other kids.
Who was this man again, David Murray? What was he? How was he in charge of you?
He was a childcare worker.
Childcare?
Yes. And he came, and the HSC, or not the HSC, the health board at the time then, they hired him, and he was paid, or the nuns hired him, he was interviewed.
He was a layman?
Yes, he was a layman. He was. And this abuse, Damien, continued with me. Personally with me, I can only speak on my experience, for 9 solid years. And nobody would listen to me. And I used to run away and the Gardaí would pick me up. And I don't blame the Gardaí for this. The Gardaí would pick me up and bring me back. Time and time again.
So you said that you were sent to school. You were in St. Joseph's, which was what it was, a kind of residential industrial school.
And I went to school outside the school, if you know what I mean. I went to... with ordinary people outside the orphanage.
Oh, so it was an orphanage.
We were mixed with everybody else.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know,
how did you end up there in that? How did you end up being sent there?
My mother had died, and I was only 7. And of course, I came from a large family, and had all our brothers and sisters. And ISPCC then brought us to court, brought my dad to court, and I remember like yesterday. My dad fought tooth and nail to keep us at home, keep us together. And lo and behold, the day my mother died, the day she was being buried, I was making me hold a communion. And all my family were at the funeral. And a neighbour minded me. But I ended up then in St. George's, myself and my little brother, through the courts. And all I can say, Damien, is, you know, it wasn't all dark times, you know, because this was the norm for me. I got used to it. This was normal for me to go to school most mornings drunk. And funny enough, they lost all my reports when I was due to go to court. I never existed, Damien. I had no school record, no hospital record. And, of course, there was a fire in the school, and the only file that got burnt, which my initial starts with N, would have been a back file, and my file was the only one that was burnt. God. Nobody else's file was burnt.
And the catalyst to this, as you said, was your poor, unfortunate mother dying and leaving your dad in charge. This is another thing, it seems... reading accounts of the time and how young boys and girls found themselves in these hellholes. wasn't always down to the fact that, you know, that the young mothers became pregnant outside of marriage.
Correct.
It was when mothers died that it seems that the fathers in society or weren't trusted, or it wasn't seen by society as normal that a father would rear his children. Am I right?
Yeah. Yes, that's the crime, Damien.
That was the crime.
That was the crime.
That was the crime. That your what age was your mother when she died?
43. She was a young woman. She had a lot of she had cancer and other stuff, you know.
And what about your dad?
My dad lived till he was 86. I never told him what happened, obviously.
Are you serious? You never told him? And did he not?
No, I couldn't.
Did you not have any? What contact did you have with you? I mean, I cannot comprehend. Think about it now for our listeners. Just think about it. Your father was probably in his 40s then, like I am now. And you find yourself.
My father was an older man then.
He was,
much older.
Well, whatever age. He could have been.
You know?
And that his children are taken from him because he's seen as not up to being able to rear them. So did he have any say, any control in where you were going? None.
No, that was it. Signed, sealed, delivered, and that was the way it is. And then my older brothers, then they went to Clonmel. St. Joseph was in Clonmel, and they went to the redress board. And Damien, may I say this now? And this is crazy, but this is the way it was. I am so glad I went to the High Court because I got a judge to listen to me. Mm-hmm. And all these, I had sued five bodies of the arm of the state. That was the Minister for Health, the Minister for Justice, the Minister for Education, the Nuns and the Health Board at the time. And all of those five bodies were armed to the teeth with the highest and best paid barristers in the country. And on the 11th hour, Damien, in the courthouse, I was offered £300,000 at the time. And I was informed that if I didn't take it, I would lose everything. And I would have to pay the bill for the other side. And that was my decision to make. And of course, I had a brilliant legal team, and I had a wonderful counsellor. Best gone.
And you ended up then in front of Justice Joseph Finnegan, as you said, who listened to you, who believed you, who rewarded you, gave you damages, who also gave you your costs and expenses as well.
Right.
But the money was not just the important thing for you.
It was
to be able to explain and expose these people, including David Murray. As you said, he was a childcare worker in St. Joseph's in Kilkenny from 72 to 1981 and has spent time in prison for those offenses. And he's a man that you actually eyeballed in prison. And if you'll hang there, I'll take a break and we'll come back to you after this.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Ray Nocter's still in the line. Ray, this David Murray man, who was the childcare worker in Kilkenny there from 72 to 81, in 1997, he was sentenced to 10 years in prison for buggery and acts of gross indecency on a number of boys, obviously including yourself. You went to see him in prison.
I did. Because I had to learn to confront my theory, you know. And I done it. I done it, Damien.
Yeah.
And it was a very short, quick visit. I was full of fear going in. And he was looking down on the floor at all times. And I had said to him then, I didn't threaten to kill him. I didn't threaten to shoot him. I didn't threaten his life. All I said to him is, you'll be looking over your shoulder for the rest of your life. I won't be.
Did he say anything to you?
He didn't say anything. He just said to the officers that were there that I threatened them, and they were present. That wasn't a threat. And he got every protection going there. I mean, when I left St. Joseph's School, I left with a black bag and the claws on my back and no identity.
And even to that point in time, he said to the prison officers, he's threatening me, he was looking for sympathy.
He was. And even the judge at the time, offered him if he took part in facilitating and admit own up to his abuse. Mm. You know, what he did was wrong. He couldn't see what he did was wrong. Couldn't see it.
Ray, how are you now? This was back in the mid-noughties. You're in your mid-60s, or you're early, you're 61.
I'm 60.
60 now.
Yeah, I'd be 61 in April.
You're a young man.
Thanks very much.
How are you getting on? How, like, you had your day in court. You had your moment with David Murray to try and get some closure. Did they help move you along with your life? You can never forget the past. That's evident in your voice.
But how are you coping?
In the past,
Jamie. Right. I don't live in the past. I had times where I had several times I would have nightmares. I would cry, go off and cry on my own. And the suicides have stopped.
Good.
You know, I had great counselling for a couple of years, Jamie.
Well, the key thing you say there, you don't live in the past, you live in the future and keep looking forward. But what are you doing with yourself now, Ray? Are you?
I care for my wife. She is stage four cancer at the moment. You know, she never drank or smoked and all that sort of stuff, you know. But I don't drink anymore, Damien. I've given up the drink for a couple of years now, you know.
Right.
My children are growing up, getting on with their life. I've never told them. Details of what happened. I did inform them what happened, but not to the level. You know, there's a certain point I won't cross.
I understand. I understand. That again
but
will
the
be...
The other thing, Damien, if I may just say this, because this is important for, other survivors out there who did go to the redress. This redress, Damien, that our government called, I call it a kangaroo court, because that's what it was. They brought people in, people who murdered children, people who raped them, people who put them in starvation. These are the people they allowed to cross-examine, survivors, and give them no chance. They allowed it. The people on the redress board, whoever the word they mean, should be named and shamed. Who allowed this to happen?
Okay.
The government did. They overseen this.
I know.
I have to say, Minister Charlie Flanagan now can give freedom to these people to speak and to take their fear away by removing this clause.
The non-disclosure agreement. I understand that some of them, obviously we heard them doing that last night.
Ray,
look, we're not going to... You've told your story and there's a huge reaction to you and it's all positive and I want you to just know that, OK? And indeed, thank you so much for joining us on the programme, Ray, and do look after your wife. As you said, she was a hero for you throughout all of this.